Good evening, everybody. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Numbers 14 or both Joshua 14. Actually, I think we'll look at 13 and 14 tonight probably. Well, 14 and Joshua anyway. We're going to be looking at Joshua and Numbers both. And we'll have those on the screen up here. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's okay. I'll give you a moment to get there. So, where we're starting tonight, the Israelites have been wandering around for about 40 years. And this is after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And at one point, Moses sends 12 spies to spy out the promised land, and they go there for 40 days. And one of those men was named Caleb, one of the 12 spies. Caleb and Joshua, they come back from spying out the promised land, and they've got a positive report when they return. So here's what the Word of God says. We're going to start out in Numbers 13, verse 30. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there first, or you can look up here. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it," speaking of the promised land. "For surely, surely, we will overcome it." But then 10 out of the 12 spies give a bad report. And they said, in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.'" So in other words, they had spied it out, and they said, "The obstacle's too great. We've gone there, we've had a good look at it." And part of the reason that they came to this conclusion is that they were basing their analysis on what they saw, not basing it on the God they knew. And so they came to a wrong conclusion. So let's look at Numbers 14, starting at verse 7. Joshua and Caleb spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and this is what they said. "The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into that land and he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey." But the people listened to the doubters. They failed to claim the promise, and an entire generation paid the consequences. They died. But 40 years later, God gives his people a second chance. Anybody really glad God gives second chances and third chances? I am really happy. Fourth, fifth, yeah, for sure, every day. We're going to fast forward 45 years. And 45 years later, Caleb is the oldest man in Israel by a long shot, by a significant margin. He and Joshua, but Caleb's even older. His entire generation has died off. According to tradition, we're not quite sure of Joshua's age when they spied out the land, but we know Caleb was 40. And Hebrew tradition is that Joshua was about 17. So there's a pretty big gap here in the age difference. So now, Caleb, fast forward, he's 85 years young, and we're going to pick up in Joshua 14, verses 6 and 7. So starting in verse 6, "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions.'" I want to pause there for just a moment. You know, we, not unlike Caleb, we live in a time and in a place that is very intentional by God. He's put us here for a reason in the place where we live and in the time that we live in order to have a kingdom impact on the culture around us. But just like Caleb, we have to see the culture and make our decisions based on our convictions, our biblical convictions. We have to live according to the way that God wants us to. You know, as a church, we have some convictions. We have convictions that we need to get outside the walls and off the property sometimes in order to interact with people and show them the love of God and speak truth to people. We have convictions that whoever comes in here should feel welcomed and valued no matter who they are, no matter where they're coming from in life. that they should feel more loved here than anywhere. And those convictions should guide everything that we do. And at times that can be very difficult, but that's part of being all in as a follower of Jesus Christ, that we don't compromise our convictions based on appearances or based on the challenges or the tests around us, which sometimes are difficult. You know, sometimes we run into certain tests in relationships with people, maybe immediate family sometimes, that are extremely difficult situations just from appearances, but we don't go by just those appearances. We look at our convictions of who God is and His promises. We may have situations at work or situations in our finances or certain sexual temptations or whatever it may be, but we don't compromise. We are called to live according to our convictions. Let's continue in verse 8. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. Made the hearts of the people melt in fear. And we see a clear difference here between Caleb and these other spies, these other people that he's talking about. The difference of somebody like Caleb and Joshua who were all in following God, and those who live according to the flesh, those who live according to their fears and their doubts. And we have to make a decision of what's going to dictate our lives. Is it going to be our faith in God? Is it going to be in His identity and in His Word, or is it going to be according to what we see around us? And it's important to make a decision on that of what you're going to, when you encounter challenges, because every day in the culture we live in, and even just in our flesh, we run into many challenges. And the difference on receiving the promises of God and entering the promised land or dying in the desert are at stake, according to the choices that we make. But if we want to experience God's promises, if we want to experience His miracles in our life, we have to make a decision to live according to our faith, not according to sight. The alternative is to end up wandering around in the desert for 40 years, wondering where God is. So continuing there in verse 8, I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years, this is Caleb continuing, since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. That's impressive. You know, I'm impressed at what a great tennis player my mother-in-law is. Not that you're old at all, but you know, but as young as she is, that she goes out and plays people 30 years younger than her and kicks their butt. That's impressive. But this guy is Caleb's 85 years old. 85 years old, and it's interesting here in the text, the connective word there, as in the Hebrew, it means literally, it means identical. He's saying, I am exactly as powerful today for battle at 85 as I was for at 45 or at 40. And the reason is because the source of his strength had not changed. The source of his strength was not his flesh, it was God. Isn't that awesome? I think about how cool Mr. Miyagi was in Karate Kid, right? And he wasn't that old, but he was seriously kicking butt, you know. If they do a like Karate Kid 2030 or something when he's 85, you know, and he's still destroying people, you know, just, you don't want to mess with him. But I read this from Caleb and I'm thinking, what a moment. You know, what a brave heart kind of just, you know, moment ready for battle this guy is. I'm just trying to imagine the conviction in God, the confidence that he has in God in his voice here. So he continues in verse 12. He says, now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. Give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. mean, the Holy Spirit is just energizing this guy. You can feel it in the text with power and courage and faith and strength. He continues, "You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there," were in this land that he's going to. "The Anakites were there. Their cities are large. They are fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." So he's not saying, give me a land that God has already cleared out. He's saying, send me into battle. They're still there and I'm ready to go in the strength of the Lord to take this land that's promised, to claim the promise of God. "I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron," this is the land that he's speaking of, "as his inheritance." So Hebron belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord, because he was faithful and confident in God, the Lord God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Caleb was all in. Caleb was all in. We've been talking about what it means to be a person of authentic faith, a person who doesn't just say they trust God, but they live that way, and how different that looks in a person's life. You know, we've talked about Noah, how all-in faith looks like Noah building an ark in a desert. And we talked about Abraham and putting Isaac upon an altar as a great example of trusting in God no matter what and having all-in faith. And then here we see Caleb at 85 years old, Caleb saying, send me in the battle. Give me the hill country that's been promised. I'm ready. And here's something I love about Caleb. You know, I'm in my 50s, my mid-50s, and I do not feel as strong for battle now as I did at 40. It hasn't been that long ago. But here's Caleb, and he's not only all in at 40. This is 45 years later. At 85 years old, he's saying, my confidence is as strong today in God as it's ever been. I am as ready to act upon his promises and stand upon those as much as I ever was. And he's not playing it safe at all. You know, he's not trying to head into retirement and go play shuffleboard and, you know, just and coast the rest of the way out. You know, this is a guy who's saying, you know, at 80, I'm ready to go skydiving. And at 82, I want to be on American Ninja Warrior. You know, and at 85, I want to climb Everest. You know, he's saying, I want to be a cage fighter. God is with us. I'm ready to do anything that God wants me to do. He said, let's start a war. God is with. And you got to understand, the people he's talking to other than Joshua, they're like 18, 19, 20. The people, these young Israelites, they've never seen these promises of God the way that Caleb has in his life. But he's saying, I'm ready, and they're watching him. And he's saying, let's go take this hill country. I love that. I love that vigorous spirit that he has because his faith didn't diminish over time. If anything, it just grew stronger. And I can just see him just energized by the Holy Spirit and animated. And I pray that we would have that same spirit of Caleb as a church. I pray that we would have that kind of confidence, not only individually, but collectively as a church. That we're not looking at the challenges. We're not worrying about the numbers. Or we're not worried about this obstacle or that obstacle. We're just saying, you know what? God is with us. Let's go to battle. Let's go take what is promised to us. Why did Caleb pick Hebron? Why did he say, send me there? There's a lot of other promised land available flowing with milk and honey. And I think there's a couple reasons for that, and I want to share this because I think it gives insight into who Caleb is and his confidence in God. Hebron is the highest elevation in this part of Palestine. It's 3/4 of a mile elevated there above the Mediterranean. This would be the hardest place to conquer, to take. They have well-fortified cities. They have giant warriors there protecting it. And he's saying, that's the battle I want.
I don't want the little battle. Don't send me to the plains. Even though he's the 85-year-old. He's saying, give me the toughest battle we can find. I want Hebron. That's where I want to go. He's saying, God is with me. The Anakites were known as being a race of giants. These were huge, huge people. And he's saying, send me there, because he wants not only to take this place as a statement of the fact that God is with them and that God can do what seems impossible, But I think his concern is, I want God to get maximum glory. Send the old guy to take a fortified city on the top of the mountain. He wants God to receive all the glory for the victory that's coming, and that's the spirit of Caleb. I'll add this as a footnote, and this isn't from Scripture, but I was doing some studying on this, and there's a Jewish scholar who said that, according to tradition, to Jewish tradition, from the rabbis, that Caleb, when he was in the Promised Land many years earlier as a spy, as one of the spies, that there was actually a time when he left the other 11, and he went to Hebron and spied that out by himself. And part of the reason for that is that his ancestors were buried there from 400 years prior. And so, and he knew where to go in the burial place of his ancestors. Abraham had lived there a lot of his life in Hebron. And according to the traditions, Caleb went there and fell on the grave of his ancestors and cried out to God to fulfill the promise, to restore the land to the people, to bring them back. Can you imagine the power of that moment? As this man who knew God, trusted God, fell on the grave of his ancestors 400 years before and says, God, we're ready. We're ready. Give us the promise. And then you can imagine for all that time in the desert after that, wandering around for 40 years, just the brokenheartedness, the heartache that the people didn't have the faith to do it earlier. That they lived in doubt, and they lived in fear, and they could have claimed it. They could have gone in. He claimed the promises so much earlier, and now just devastatingly disappointed. It must have been for Caleb and for Joshua. Because everybody else didn't have faith, they also shared in some of the punishment. I mean, their victory was delayed because of that. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up on receiving a promise. And that promise, I think, probably grew in his heart. He knew a day would come when they would go back, and God would fulfill that. So 45 years later, with all this passion, he's back there, and they're going to go into the Promised Land, and he wants to go to this place where he'd fallen on the ground on the grave of his ancestors and cried out to God to take possession of the land. He's like, I want to go back there. God's going to fulfill his promises. We're going to take that place. Give me the hill country. Just as another side note, one of Caleb's descendants was a shepherd named David, who was anointed the king of Judah. And for 7.5 years, because it was an elevated, fortified place, that's where the capital was for the king. It was there at Hebron. And it wasn't until later that they moved it. But it all goes back. Remember the other day we were just talking about the faithfulness in a time of testing, like with Abraham. And God calling on him to make a sacrifice for what he cherished most, and him having the faith to do that, to be willing. And then the faith of somebody like Caleb to say, God, send me. I'm 85 years old, and I know it looks impossible, and these guys, these warriors look like giants, but I'm ready to act on your promise and take it. And because of that, King David can set up his capital there for a season. In a sense, as a small church, and as a young church, as a church plant, God's given us the hill country. He's given us a challenge. It's not like we've got some sending church in some other city giving us $10 million to launch something. That'd be cool. I'm not opposed to that. But, you know, maybe we should pray for that more. But, you know, God gets so much glory when the least and the last and the weakest and those who shouldn't have the victory have the victory. And he gets the glory for that. And I remember about a year and a half ago, a lot of you know, when we started here, so it was on the north end of Kokomo, but about the country. And we loved it. It was great. It was a place of blessing, and we grew spiritually, and we grew with a few more people. We cried out to God. We said, God, give us a place where there's just more people that we can interact with and just love on and share the gospel with and just see you work and do things. And God answered that. He brought us here. And he gave us an open door here. And we pray, and we continue to pray like it depends entirely on the Lord and His strength, because in our strength and our know-how, it doesn't go well. That's the testimony of my life every day. You know, do we enter into it, but we're not apart from Him. We have Him, and His strength is with us. And we need to pray that way, and we need to live that way. We need to not be afraid of the battles in our life. We need to trust God for victory, that He would be glorified in that. And the weaker we are in the midst of those battles, the more glory He gets. Boast in your weakness so that Christ can reveal His strength in those battles. Now, I don't know whether this place for Here's Hope, I don't know if this is our Hebron. I don't know that maybe this is just a place on the way to the promised land. We'll see what God does. It's a day at a time. And He's not told me that yet. But we just, whatever He places in front of you as a man or woman of God, whatever He places in front of us as a church, we just need to be courageous and faithful and trusting that He's got this. You know, we don't need to worry that our confidence is in Him, not in ourselves. I want to encourage us tonight before we go just to have a little more time of prayer this evening individually. And I'm just going to specifically ask you to pray for whatever God lays in your heart, but pray for Here's Hope. Let's pray for the church tonight. There's a lot of possibilities out there for us. There's a lot of possibilities here. There's possibilities elsewhere. There's possibilities even of others who may come and join us who aren't here yet that He may bring. And I just really want us to pray in the spirit of Caleb. Pray in the spirit of confidence. Pray in the spirit of trust. Pray for opportunities for us to engage more with people around town and for people to see victories in their life that brings them closer to God. Pray for God's plans and purposes to just grow and manifest in our church. Pray for God's presence, more and more of the presence of God in us and working through us. Before every service, before you guys get here, I walk around the sanctuary and I pray here. And I, nothing special about me, I'm just telling you. But I pray over the music equipment, not the equipment for those who are going to be playing the equipment, for whoever's in the sound booth, and then for whoever's each of the pews. And my prayer is always for God to bring whoever He wants to bring, and to keep away whoever He wants to keep away. And some people say, no, no. Sometimes God actually sends people away, and that's okay. You know, whoever He wants to. Sometimes if there's 30,000, He's like, no, you don't think you got the victory. Let's send most of them away. Let's just have a few hundred. That way you know it's me. So, but I pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit among His people. And I want us to pray that tonight, just for supernatural provision of Himself, for guidance, for the church, that all of us would be like Caleb and just wholeheartedly following, wholeheartedly trusting and believing. The name Caleb in Hebrew, it means with his whole heart. With his whole heart. But also there's a related word to Caleb. Caleb, which means dog, like in a good sense. It means dog as in like faithful, trusted friend, like a best friend of man, kind of faithfulness. And I think that we need to have that spirit of Caleb. We need to have that spirit of confidence in who God is, no matter how things ever look. That we want the challenges. We don't run away from the battle. We want to run into it individually and as a church and see God victorious in those things. And because Caleb did that, because of his where his strength was in God, he received all the promises of God. And those who did not believe did not receive that. So let's believe God for great things tonight. Let's pray for great things tonight. And worship team, just before you play some more songs for us, lead us in worship again, I want us to just take time, be quiet, it's just to pray. And certainly in your own life too, whatever the battle is, just to say, God, I'm not going to run from the battle. I'm not going to be afraid of the battle. And I'm not going to be frustrated by the battle. I'm going to trust you for victory in the battle. And I'm inviting you into it, and I'm believing you for it. And ask God to come into that in his presence. So let's just take some time to do that.